Welcome to the Hypnodojo, a place of learning for practitioners and students of hypnotherapy. Get your black belt in all things hypnotherapy as we whip into shape your mindset, mastery, and marketing. Relax, enjoy, learn. Here's your sensei, Linda Campbell.
Hi, and welcome to the Hypno Dojo. The topic that we're going to cover today is one that's pretty near and dear to my heart, something that I nag my students about all the time. I'm going to talk about three ways to create the practice you desire and eliminate your competition. Now, when I say eliminate your competition, I'm not talking about, you know, wiping them out by doing hypnosis better than anybody else. It's really about doing hypnosis, or at least having your practice be such a way that what you're doing is so unique, so infused with your own flair, your own style, your own interests and philosophies, that there's just no such thing as competition because there's nobody who does it quite like you. So I'm granting you permission right off the top of the show to be selfish and to design the practice that you desire. A couple of years ago, right as one of my classes was about to graduate, on the very last day of class, one of my students finally had the light bulb go off. We were talking about how they wanted their practices to look after graduation, and she looked at me and said, "Oh, so you can get your needs met in your practice." I was like, "Yes, of course. If this is what we're going to do for a living, shouldn't your practice be set up in such a way that you love going to work, that you love doing what you do?" I am a great big yes for that. If we're used to working in the standard way, working for somebody else, we're used to having a lot of the decisions be out of our hands. The hours are set for us, the wage is set, the activities we're doing over the course of the day are set, the clientele may be set. We just kind of step in and do the work that we're told to do during the hours we're told to work, and then we go home. When you work for yourself, of course, you can start from scratch and really create a practice that works for the lifestyle that you want. And as you change, your practice can as well. When I had a kid at home, I like to go to work after I dropped him off at school and end my day in time to pick him up. When he moved out, I decided I would work really hard for 4 days and take the other three off. Lately, I've decided I don't want to work before 11 because I like a leisurely morning with time to have coffee with my husband, make a nice breakfast, meditate. My point is, when you're working for yourself, all of these choices are yours and you can design a practice that you love and that makes you excited to go to work every day. When we pick a mate or we buy a house, we take into consideration things like our needs and our hobbies and our lifestyle, and we find a place or a person that suits us. So if we're city folk, we would be absolutely miserable living out in the country. And if we're somebody who needs a lot of space and land and greenery around us, we would be miserable living downtown in a big city in some big high-rise apartment. So we're thinking about our personality and our tastes and our interests. When we make those decisions, we don't just take the first house that shows up on the market or marry the first person we meet sight unseen. So we understand, of course, that these are choices that we're going to be living with for a long time, maybe even forever. So we make choices that we feel are the best possible fit for us. We think about it in advance. And yet, when it comes to starting up a hypnotherapy practice, I've seen a lot of people just kind of jump in without thinking about who they want to work with or what they want to be working on. They have sort of a generalized type of practice, and they're often working on types of clients' goals that they're not really passionate about. If we're going to be doing something for a lifetime, if we're going to make a career out of it, heck, if I'm going to do something for an hour, I want to get pleasure out of it. I want it to be joyful. I want it to be something that really resonates with me. Same thing, we can consider our interests and lifestyle when it comes to designing our practice. Our practice should match our needs and desires. It really should be our dream practice, something that we're absolutely thrilled to do that feels meaningful and rewarding. So I'm going to talk today about finding a niche, finding a way of doing hypnotherapy that makes you unique. And again, that's how you eliminate the competition. When you're focusing on a specific area of hypnosis, or you're working in such a way that nobody can do it quite the way you're doing it, you're not going to have any competition. You're going to be excited to go to work every day, you will enjoy your practice more, and it'll be easier to find clients. Now, I'm not talking just about setting your own hours or setting your own fees. I referenced that earlier. I'm really talking about something that's much deeper than that when I talk about having your dream practice. Now, before I go into the three ways to get your dream practice, to craft your dream practice, I want to talk a little bit about specializing. Some people balk at the idea of specializing, so I want to start off by addressing it. Let me put it this way. If you had a specific type of cancer and you were looking for a treatment, would you go to a generalist family doctor who works on all issues in all of the areas of the body? Or would you want to look for a specialist who knows everything there is to know about your specific type of cancer? When people come to see a hypnotherapist, they come with real problems, and we're here to help them solve their problems. People want to work with somebody who understands their problem, who focuses in that area, who's a specialist. They want to know that you hear them, that you understand what's going on for them. If you have a huge long list of things that you work on, you don't appear to be an expert in anything, and people generally want an expert. So often, when I suggest that people specialize, the feedback I get is, oh, but if I do that, I won't get enough clients, or, but smoking cessation and weight loss are what hypnosis is known for. Shouldn't I stick with that because that's where the money is? Now, I understand that in the beginning, you don't know when the phone is going to ring again or when you're going to get your next email inquiry about your services. So it can be really tempting to feel like you have to see every potential client who comes your way. So the tendency is to not want to be too narrow in focus because of fear that you'll miss out on getting clients. However, when you try to look like an expert on everything, you end up looking like an expert on nothing. Specializing also doesn't mean you have to turn down clients who may not fall under your specialty. It just gives you a clearer focus on finding the people that you would like to work with. So I want to talk a little bit here about the work of Tad Hargrave, whose business is marketing for hippies. If you ever get an opportunity to do a marketing workshop with Tad, take it. He's amazing. Now, he uses the analogy of islands. He says that Island A is where your client currently is. This is the island of their struggles, their problems, their symptoms, the challenges that they're currently facing. So Island A is where they're stuck. Island B is where they want to go. That is the island of their desired outcome, their perfect world, everything that they would like to achieve. Now, Tad says that the problem is that as practitioners, we spend a lot of time talking about the boat. We're not talking about the islands, we're talking about the means that we're going to use to help the client. In other words, we go on and on about how great hypnosis is, what it can be used for, what it feels like, what the misconceptions are. But the client doesn't care about the boat. The client cares about the islands. They want to know that you understand their challenges and therefore you understand the solution. When it comes right down to it sometimes, let's face it, speaking about hypnotherapy isn't always a good thing. I actually had a client say to me a while back, if only it were called something else. She came with all kinds of misconceptions that I had to undo. People can be scared of hypnosis. They don't realize how amazing it is. Now, those of us who have experienced it or who have trained in it or who have used it to accomplish a goal, we're total hypno junkies. We're converts. We love this stuff. But oftentimes the general public is afraid of what we're doing. And again, there's all kinds of misconceptions. So we spend all of this time on our website trying to debunk those misconceptions, trying to explain and sell and defend the use of hypnosis. And honestly, the client doesn't really care about our methodology. That's not what they're searching for when they get online trying to find a solution for their issue. Clients are not going, find me a hypnotherapist. They're saying, help me sleep better. How do I lose weight? How do I deal with my depression? They're focusing on the island, not on the boat. So on our website or other marketing materials, we need to be talking about the islands. We need to be talking about their challenge and the results that we can help them achieve. Now, I'm not suggesting that we're elusive about what our approach is, not at all. I'm just suggesting that our website or any of our marketing materials should shift the emphasis away from ourselves and our modality to the client. The marketing materials that we produce, if they're speaking the client's language, if the client understands that we hear what their problems are, that we get it, we've talked about it on the website, they're going to be way more interested in working with us than if we're just talking about hypnosis. If a client lands on our website and it doesn't seem to be about them, we're just talking about how great hypnosis is, they're going to click off and find somebody else who is talking their language. However, if the client lands on our website and goes, "Oh my God, you're inside my head. You know everything I'm thinking. You know exactly how I'm feeling. You know what I'm struggling with." Guess what? They're probably going to want to work with you because you get it. Now, I want to take Tad's analogy even further. I see a lot of therapists talking about the captain. They ignore the islands altogether and talk about their credentials, their training, the obscure modalities that they've studied, the alphabet soup of credentials behind their name. Their website is basically screaming, "Me, me, me," but there's very little about the client or about the client's problem. In my opinion, a good hypnotherapist is a client-centered hypnotherapist. In other words, they're focused on the client. They take the time to understand the client's perspective. They imagine what it's like to walk in the client's world. They leave their own judgments and opinions and perspectives out of the session, and they simply focus on understanding the client's worldview. The client-centered hypnotherapist pays attention to the client's language. We pay attention to how they describe their problem and their challenges and their desired outcome. And we do this because their mind understands those words and phrases and responds to them better in hypnosis than anything we could make up. The words and phrases, the language that the client uses, means something to them. So we're reflecting back their own language to them in hypnosis. And thereby, they take in those suggestions more readily because, again, it's in a language they can relate to. We also take the client into consideration when we're creating our hypnosis sessions. We use approaches that work best for them as individuals. So we might do visualization with a visual client or talk about feelings with a kinesthetic client. We might use confusion with an analytical client. In other words, we're client-centered. We make the session and our work with the client fit what the client needs. Now, if we're doing that in our practice, in our office, in our work with our client, should we not be doing a similar thing when it comes to our marketing? If we know the importance of our sessions being client-centered, should we not be applying that same effort to our marketing? Shouldn't the language that we use be client-centered as well, language the client can relate to? Why have a client-centered practice where you're focusing on your client's goal and client's language and client's history, but then make your website all about you? It's incongruent. When you're really focused on a specific type of goal or client, you're able to gear your marketing efforts towards that type of client so that it speaks to them directly. And even just doing this would make you stand out amongst hypnotherapists, not to mention amongst holistic practitioners, counselors, therapists in general. Now, I could do a random search of hypnotherapy websites right now, and I guarantee you I would find pretty much the same thing on every site. I would find a big long list of all the different areas hypnosis addresses, but I would find very little in depth about any specific goal. Most people are busy talking about the boat. To actually find a therapist page that's written about the client and not the therapist is rare. So when a client comes to the page of a generalist hypnotherapist and they see that big long list of goals that this therapist works on, they might just think, wow, this person dabbles. They know a little bit about a lot of things. And having a number of different goals listed on your website can be confusing for the person who wants to know if you just work in their specific area. Can you help me with the thing I'm struggling with? And the confused mind says no. Now, obviously, I have a huge bias against generalizing, and I'm going to tell you why. The bottom line is you don't stand out. We are in a fairly competitive market. People have a lot of options when it comes to doing therapy. They have conventional talk therapy, psychotherapy, counseling. Not only are we competing against other hypnotherapists, but we're competing against other types of therapists and your fellow alternative health practitioners that use different modalities again. So we need to stand out amongst all of the other therapy options that the potential client has to choose from. Now, as a new hypnotherapist, this can be especially tricky because somebody who's more established can pay to market themselves more. They can throw money at the problem. They can make sure that they show up in searches. But as a new hypnotherapist, you may not have that luxury. So the tendency is for somebody new to want to be general. I do everything for everyone. Hypnosis works for everything. Let me help you. This is a really weak marketing message. I do everything for everyone. It doesn't compel anybody to use your services if your message is watery and weak. Now, I said that if you focus on a specialty, it's easier to find clients. Let me get into that a bit. I'm new to hypnosis. I need clients. How do I get them? Well, if I decide I'm going to specialize in birthing, I can think about where people who are getting ready to have a baby hang out, online or in the real world. I can figure out who they work with, what stores or sites they go to, and I can make sure that I'm visible there. I could also approach a hub. So a hub is somebody who works with the people that you want to work with. So for example, if I'm going to specialize in birthing, I could approach doulas and midwives and people who run birthing classes, and I can invite them out for coffee and tell them what I do and how I can help their clients, and I can ask for referrals. It's easy to have a conversation with them about how hypnosis applies to birthing, and I can give them marketing materials that they can pass on to interested clients. Now, if you know who you want to work with, you can brainstorm hubs that already work with those people and reach out to that person. See if there's a place to refer back and forth. It's far easier to find a hub and to get them to send you clients than it is to find all of those clients on your own. Think about it. You might find a hub who is already established in their business, whatever that happens to be, who already has a list of clients, who already has clientele. Now you get familiar with that person, you show them what you're capable of doing in hypnosis, and they may put you in touch with their list, with their clients. Those clients could potentially become yours. So again, if I know who I want to work with, I can brainstorm hubs that already work with them and reach out to that person. I could also do things like go to parenting stores and leave materials. I could find pregnancy meetups and groups about pregnancy. Get the picture? If I know I want to work with golfers, I could approach golf pros. I could leave materials at golf clubs. I could give a presentation to golfers and talk about how I can help them improve their mental game. If I know I want to help students prepare for exams, I can do a Pro D Day workshop for teachers, another hub. I could speak to the PTA group. I could put a blurb in the school newspaper. If I want to help students, I just have to think about where are students hanging out? How can I get information to them? What information do they need from me in order to work with me? So I think you get it. When I know who I want to work with or what I want to work on, I can do much more focused marketing. Instead of I work with everybody on everything, chirp, chirp, nobody shows up, I can find people more easily. I know what their challenges are. I can speak to how hypnosis helps with that. I can talk to them about the islands. Now, another benefit of focusing the work that you do on a particular group or a particular philosophy is that you end up doing work that you really love to do. And that gets communicated across to your client in your marketing and in your consultations. And this is what's going to make the client want to work with you, that you come across as passionate and interested and dedicated to their type of goal. If you hate doing smoking cessation, it bores you to tears, or it frustrates you, or you've got an attitude with smokers, you see it as a filthy habit, you look down on them with disdain, that's going to be communicated across to your client. They can sense that, just like dogs can hear a whistle that we can't hear with our human hearing. People can sense one way or the other how you feel about them. If you were in the client's shoes, would you want to work with somebody who you felt was just tolerating you or didn't believe in your goal or wasn't excited about working with you? Of course not. The client will pick up on your lack of passion or interest. So people are afraid of specializing because they think they're going to miss out on clients. But if you're being bored or frustrated or bringing any other kind of negative energy into your dealings with your clients, they aren't going to work with you anyway. So why not focus on an area that you're really excited to work in so that every time a client comes to see you, you're feeling passionate and excited about their goal and they're picking up on that. It draws them to work with you because everybody wants to be around the energy of excitement. So when we clearly define who we want to work with, it essentially eliminates the notion of competition. You can refer clients who are not a fit to your colleagues because people tend to follow the law of reciprocity. They will likely send people back to you. And of course, Being a specialist doesn't mean that you don't see other clients who are outside of your specialty. I mean, oftentimes I get somebody who comes in for an area that I'm focusing on, but when you do good work with somebody, they become loyal to you. And then when they have a different goal or a different challenge or a different major life experience, they come back to you to work on that. I have clients that I have worked with for 20 years, not because I'm a bad hypnotherapist or they're so screwed up, but because they come back to me every time something else comes up for them. I've had some people that I work with their whole family as their family goes through different changes and challenges. So if somebody becomes loyal to you, they keep coming back. And they also refer to you their friends who have similar challenges or friends who have different problems. So even though I may be focusing on preparing women for a pain-free childbirth, I may end up with some smoking clients or weight loss clients or nail biting clients because the client who came for birthing is loyal to me and recommends me to her friends and family. And because they know her and trust her judgment and trust her opinion, they're happy to come see me. So you're not just going to be stuck in your specialization, but by having a specialization, it's going to be so much clearer to how to find your clients, how to strategize for where those clients are and how to reach them and what you need to say to them and what kind of information they need from you. And again, your energy, your enthusiasm is going to be communicated if you're working in an area that you're passionate about. Okay, so there's my little rant. I'm going to step down off my soapbox and talk about the three ways to create that dream practice. So number one, bring in a philosophy that you're really passionate about. So I want to provide some context here. This came from a challenge that I had with a student I was teaching a number of years ago. She was in my second level of hypnotherapy training, and the assignment that I gave them at the time was to think of a type of client that they really wanted to work with and to really kind of get inside that client's head. Think about what the problems are that that client would typically be having. What keeps them awake at night? What are they focused on? What are they challenged by? What is their island A? And then they were to design a hypnotherapy session that they could do on their classmates as a demonstration that spoke to that particular challenge. So this student had a counseling background, and she had been invited into private schools that had a lot of Asian students from other countries because she's Asian. So she was invited in to speak to them about what their challenges are, to do some counseling work with them. So the beginning part of her assignment was really good because she chose these students as her potential type of client. And she did a really good job getting into the head of those students, figuring out what their challenges were. Things like fitting into a different culture or living with their host families or getting along or not getting along with their teachers or their classmates, having pressure on them from their families to do really well in school. She was able to get really clear about what kind of problems and challenges this client would have. So she got an A for that part of the assignment. However, when it came time to do the session on us, I was really surprised at the direction that she took because I thought she would be doing mostly suggestive work around, you know, helping them to acclimatize, to take the pressure off, deal with stress, that sort of thing. But what she actually did was a hypnotherapy session that was all about past lives. So I was a bit thrown off. I'm marking this and I'm like, not sure how to mark this. I really, really enjoyed the first part of the presentation, but I don't know how relevant this session was to this particular client. I feel like, you know, we were on island A and then you took me off to island R. It's like not the island the client wanted to end up at. So I was talking to this client or this student about my feedback, and she was really struggling with my feedback. She kept saying to me, I want to be authentic in my practice. The thing I'm really interested in, the thing I'm really fascinated by and passionate about is past life work. I don't want to go where the client wants to go. What I really want to do is past lives. So we both left this conversation feeling pretty dissatisfied, and we both took time to think about it overnight. And what I came to was, we could actually form a practice around something we're really interested in or a particular belief that we have or a philosophy. If there's something that we're really passionate about, we could build an entire practice around that. If what she really wants to do is past life work, she could have a practice that is all about past life work. However, You need to let your potential client know that up front. If they come in and they don't have a belief in past life, or their goal isn't a match to past life work, or, you know, they've never even heard of it before, if you try to push them into that, when you try to dictate what you're going to do in the session, that might rub them the wrong way, interfere with rapport. They might even think that you're a nut job if they don't believe in the thing that you want to do. However, if your website and all of your marketing material says something to the effect of, "I believe that all of our problems stem back to our previous lifetimes," or "I believe we've come here this time around to resolve karma from previous lifetimes," "work with me would involve looking into your past lives and how they're relevant to your current life." If a client reads that or hears you say that in a presentation you're giving, now they can select whether that's a fit for them or not, whether that interests them, and they can deselect themselves if not. If you wouldn't be the right fit for them, they don't have to sign up for a session with you. But you could actually develop a practice around a philosophy that you have or a type of work that you like doing. You just need to communicate it up front. Your client needs to know what they're getting into. And besides, it's just smart business, because if you're bringing people in for consultations, let's say you do 5 consultations a week, but you don't let people know that everything you're going to do is going to be past life related, then maybe only one of those people wants to go through with it, and now you've just wasted 4 hours of your time and their time talking about something that isn't really of interest to them. So, if there's something that you really believe in, something that you have a strong feeling about, that if only people thought the way I did, they would be happy and free of suffering, if you have a philosophy that helps you to put things into perspective for yourself, that may be something that you could build your whole practice around. So is there something that you've learned from your challenges or an attitude that you've adopted because of them that you now live by? Do you have a motto or a credo or a spiritual perspective or philosophy that kind of drives the things that you do or helps you put things into perspective? You could combine that with doing hypnotherapy and have a completely unique offering that sets you apart from other therapists, hence eliminating the competition. So some examples of this. Now, I've already given the example of everything is related to past lives or karma. There's also an idea that all of our relationships are a form of education. They're teaching us something about ourselves so that we can improve or grow or evolve. So you could do work that focuses on relationships, focuses on relationship dynamics, why we attract the people we attract. Help people to glean the message or the lesson from the relationship in order to attract different partners or be a better person. There was actually a book on my shelf in my classroom that was basically about how all of our suffering is due to having an entity attachment. And the work that that therapist does is only focused on uncovering the attachment, finding that entity. So there's a whole book on that. There's somebody who built their whole practice on one philosophy. So you could do a practice around whatever the latest diet is, if that was something you were interested in. A while ago, it was the paleo diet. You could actually design a practice that's about supporting people while they're on that particular diet. If you believe in prayer or mindfulness or the law of attraction, any one of those things you could design a practice around. So to get to what your beliefs or guiding philosophy are, you could ask yourself the following questions and see what answers surface. I think all of our problems could be solved if only we. Or one thing I find myself lecturing about is. Or a good way to look at our problems in life is. Or believing blank makes me feel better when I'm in crises. So that's the first way of having a practice that you really love and eliminating the competition. Finding a philosophy that you really believe in. And again, you can see how this would set you apart from other people. Because if you're the person who combines hypnosis with the law of attraction or mindfulness or some specific philosophy, then now you are distinguishable from the other generic therapists out there who maybe aren't doing that kind of work. Now, the second way to design your dream practice is to offer what I call a combo platter. So hypnotherapy doesn't have to be offered as a modality all on its own. It could be combined with a skill or a talent or a modality that you already have. And this allows you, again, to create a unique offer or experience for your client that nobody else gives them. It helps you to stand out in the marketplace to attract clients that are a fit for you, and you can even charge more because you're delivering something that they can't get anywhere else, and automatically that gives you an edge on your competition. So to explain this, there are two parts to doing hypnotherapy. What I think of as uncovering and addressing. So uncovering means whatever work we're doing to identify what's really going on underneath the client's symptoms. So for example, this client isn't sleeping because when they were a kid, mom and dad used to fight all night, and now they're programmed to stay vigilant, to stay alert at night, because they had a lot of fear back then about mom and dad breaking up. So here we are years later, and the subconscious is still operating this program of vigilance. So I might do regression or parts therapy or something to identify what's going on underneath the person's insomnia, and lo and behold, this is what comes up. So once you've uncovered what's going on beneath the symptom, now you're going to address it. So in this case, I might, you know, do some hypnotic argument, what I think of as a hypnotic argument to help the client see things differently. You're no longer in that situation, etc. I might reframe how great it is to sleep. Anyway, getting off track, there are techniques for uncovering what's going on underneath the symptom. And then once you know what the symptom stems back to, you're going to use some other techniques to address it. Now, hypnotherapy, of course, can be used for both uncovering and addressing. However, you could also use the hypnosis for one of these and then use another modality or another skill or another tool for the other. So, for example, I had a client who was really adept at tarot cards. So he would do a tarot reading with a client to identify what was going on for the client. And once he figured that out, he would use hypnosis to address what came out of the tarot reading. So if you have a skill set or a modality that helps you to identify the cause of a client's symptom, you could use that for the uncovering and then use hypnosis for the addressing. So you could use hypnosis for either one and then use the other thing for the other, if that makes sense. So for example, for uncovering, you could use handwriting analysis or palmistry or Chinese face reading or astrology. There's a lot of modalities that are all about uncovering what's going on for the client. Or you could use the hypnosis to uncover what's going on for the client and then do some other type of modality to address it. So for example, you could use hypnosis to look at what's going on for the client and then do energy work or acupressure or chiropractic or something to that effect to address it. So here again, you're offering a completely unique service. Now, again, you do need to let the client know up front what your service involves. I had a student a number of years ago who was really fascinating to me. He could see people's auras and he could tell what was going on for you energetically. He could see where the blocks were in your energy system. He was also a shaman. So he would create chants for his clients, create a special potion for them. So we were all surprised when it came time in class to talk about what their areas of specialty were going to be, what they wanted to do with their practices. And he said, sports improvement. What? Everybody in class was just like, huh? That's weird. We weren't expecting that. We all expected that he was somehow going to combine hypnosis with shamanism. His response was, oh, I thought that might be kind of weird. I'd love to, but would people respond to it? Now, thankfully, we live in Victoria where there are crazy woo-woos everywhere. Weird is our middle name here, me included. And I think there's going to be tons of people out there, not just in Victoria, but, you know, worldwide, who, if they read, here's what working with me is going to look like. I'm going to identify what's going on for you by looking at your aura. That's my uncovering technique. And then I give you a potion, I chant over you, and I do hypnosis to release any blocks. There are going to be people that are like, oh my God, I need to have that experience, just because that experience is so unique and so interesting. And if somebody reads that on your website and they're like, oh, that sounds weird, they're not going to contact you. And that's fine. You don't have to work with everybody. You just need to find your people. If that was something you were interested in, if that was an area that really excited you as a practitioner, if you want to spend your day looking at people's auras and then giving them hypnosis, think of how much fun your work would be every day. So when you're coming to work doing something that thrills you, that you're passionate about, that you're excited about, it's not work anymore. It's fun. So that's option number two, offering a combo platter, combining the hypnosis with some other modality or some other tool or technique that you have so that you're giving your potential client something completely unique that nobody else offers. Now, the third way of creating your dream practice, I kind of talked about already, but it's really about how to define your niche. So specializing is the third technique, but it's more than that. It's really about what niche would be the best one for you. What are you most suited to work in? It's about looking at yourself to figure out who your perfect niche is. Now, in figuring out who you would be best suited to work with, think about the life experiences and challenges that you've had personally. The experiences that we have had are the things that have taught us the most about ourselves and about the world and about life. They've made us experts in those areas, and we sometimes dismiss how much we've learned from them or how much they've shaped us because they just were what they were. We don't see them as being unusual or unique experiences. They were just our life. So, for example, to get clear about what a perfect niche might be for you, consider the following questions. What are the client's goals that you've experienced or struggled with yourself? What types of pivotal life-changing experiences have you had? Or what experiences have people around you had that you were privy to that were a bit unique? For example, the loss of a child, the loss of a parent with dementia, having a spiritual awakening or sexual dysfunction, struggling with OCD or PTSD, going through a bankruptcy or a divorce, having losses in your life, having had major debt and overcoming it, being an empty nester, dealing with a cancer diagnosis. Not everybody has experienced all of these things, but somebody who has a whole wealth of information and knowledge and experience that could be used to help others. Now, I've never lost a child. I can only try to speculate or imagine what that would be like, what the challenges would be inherent in that, what beliefs I might form as a result of that, how that experience would challenge me or change me. But somebody who's actually gone through that experience of losing a child, they can relate to somebody who's going through that themselves. They've been there. They can understand the challenges that situation brings, the emotions it involves. Now, of course, when we go through something that somebody else has gone through, we're not going to experience it exactly the same as they did because people are unique in how they process things. We don't all have the same reactions to the same experience. But you'll be easier able to relate to somebody who has gone through a similar thing. Now, the problem is we are so immersed in our own life experiences, we don't even realize that they're unique or unusual. Now, looking at the pivotal life-changing experiences that you've had or experiences that the people around you have had that you were a witness to or that you were a part of in some way can help you to identify an area where you may have some special knowledge that makes you an expert. So when you look back over your life, what are the major events that stand out? How did you receive the majority of your lessons? I tend to receive my lessons through relationship. But I know some people where their lives seem to involve a lot of health scares, or they revolve around dealing with children or dealing with parents or experiencing loss. Occasionally, I'll get a client who has had like 4 or 5 or 6 losses all within a relatively short period of time. They broke up with a partner because they went through a car accident, had some kind of trauma that caused a separation between themselves and their spouse. So they break up, they lose the house, they lose their quality of life, they lose their identity, their familiar life. So here's somebody who really understands loss and grief and the impact on your life far more than somebody who's never experienced loss. You might also consider what types of clients you tend to sympathize with or relate to. Or on the flip side of that, are there certain clients you don't relate to? Which are the clients you don't like, the ones you feel you can't support? Maybe you have strong biases against certain goals. Now, I do want to say that just because you've been through something doesn't mean you have to work on it. There may be some areas where you're like, "Ugh, I've had enough of that. I don't want to focus on that anymore." But if there is an area where you learned a lot, where you know you can see how your knowledge and your experience could be of value to other people, if it's an area you're interested in and excited about, I think it has to check that box as well. That could be a really great area for you to specialize. So by taking an inventory of your own life and looking at your own defining moments, looking at the pivotal events that have occurred, both positive and negative, things that have defined and redefined who you were, those events that entered into your consciousness with such power that they changed the very core of who you are, what you thought you were, they transformed you. A part of you was changed by those events. These events are possibly, again, areas where you could be connecting with other people because, again, you have an understanding and an empathy and a compassion for that particular type of goal that somebody who's never been through that doesn't have. Whew, I feel like I haven't stopped for a breath. So I hope that this gives you some great ideas as to how you might begin structuring a practice that you really love so that you really like doing your work every day. And when I look through my calendar at who I have booked on any given day, I'm so excited. I actually really love my clients. And the rare occasion where I've taken on somebody whose goal I wasn't excited about, or where I've stepped away from what I'm really passionate about, these are the days where I look at my calendar and I think, oh, nuts, I have to see so-and-so today. And if I'm ever thinking, oh, darn it, so-and-so is coming today, that inevitably is the person who shows up late or doesn't show up at all or bounces a check or whatever, because they somehow sense it from you. If you're not feeling it, don't work with somebody. Find a way to make your work so thrilling, so exciting, that the people that you're drawing in are excited too because of your enthusiasm. That's where you're going to get results. I hope that this podcast has given you some great ideas for how to have the practice you desire. I hope it has inspired you, and I want to thank you so much for tuning in. Now, if you're interested in hypnotherapy training, I do offer two programs. There's a self-paced program where you work through the material on your own and you submit videos to me for review. There are options with the self-paced program for getting some one-on-one training as well, or for sitting in on things like supervision and additional classes. If you prefer the feeling of being in a classroom, I do have an online via Zoom, what I call interactive online class. The next one is coming up in April 2021. I take a limited number of students and an interview is required. So if you'd like to talk more about the training or do an interview, you can contact me at info@horizoncenterhypnotherapy.com. Thank you so much for tuning in. Have a wonderful rest of the day.
Okay, take one with corrections with Campbell. Okay. Get your black belt in all things hypnotherapy and blah, blah, blah.